Again, may I say how happy I am for the privilege of talking to you about our wonderful Savior. He is a wonderful Savior, isn't he? Do you know, when I think of you folk listening in, I try to visualize you in your own home or your own car, just sitting down talking to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful that he can take folk like you and me and love us and then leave us here on earth to be a testimony for him? He doesn't give this right to angelic beings who have never sinned. What do angels know about the grace of God? What do they know about his tenderness, his compassion, his love, except as they see it manifested in you and in me? And I say again, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to sit down and talk together from the Word of God concerning our precious Savior. Now we're in the book of Acts chapter 4. And dear Peter and John, after preaching and 5,000 were saved, they were opposed by the liberals, the Sadducees of the day, who demanded by what authority, by what name they had healed this man. As if they needed to know that, they should have been thanking the Lord for this man who had been 40 years infirmed. And they should have praised the Lord for having healed him. But no, not them. Not them. They hated the Savior, because Peter had preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. In fact, Peter accuses them. He said, "Don't you know by what name?" Why, it's only one name. We ourselves haven't done anything. But through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised from the dead, this is the one who's made him whole. And you folk rejected the Savior. You rejected the stone which the builders rejected. You rejected the very foundation of the church. And let me tell you, says Peter, God still loves you. He still wants to save you. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he offers them, these same men, he offers them salvation. You know, you talk about the grace of God. No human mind in over 1,000 years studying it could never plumb the depths of the marvelous, marvelous grace of God. Just think of it. Just think of it. The Spirit of God, through Peter, is offering salvation to the very man who delivered up Jesus Christ to be crucified. And Peter's very bold when he said, we didn't heal this man. Jesus of Nazareth did. The one you rejected, the one you crucified, the one you cast out. But listen, he said, you can be saved, you can have salvation through the very one whom you crucified. I tell you, talk about the grace of God. Do you know, when I think of that, when I think of these men who were religionists, they're worse off than the man on the street. These were religionists, the leaders of the religions of the day. Killed the Son of God, yet he offered to save them. My friend, there's hope for you. There's hope for any man who will come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. I don't care who you are, my friend, or what you are. All I know is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And as Paul added, of whom I am chief. And the door is wide open. Until our Lord comes for his own, the door is still open for any man, any woman, any young person to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And why would you reject one who loved you and gave himself for you? One who died for his enemies, one who died for sinners, died for those who were still active in their sins. And as Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Now, what was the result of Peter's message? Starting in at verse 13, and reading on right on down through to verse 22, you have this statement. Now, I want you to mark the hearts of these men to whom Peter and John are speaking. And when they saw, when these ecclesiastical leaders saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years of age on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Let me just stop right here. Notice their conviction. Now Peter has accused them of the death of Christ, has offered them salvation in the name of Jesus. Now look at verses 13 and 14. When they perceived that John and Peter were unlearned and ignorant men, that is, they were not men of the schools. They didn't have the technique of the scribes. They were not schoolmen. They were just ignorant fishermen, transformed. But they took knowledge of them. You see, they marveled when they heard John and Peter speak about Jesus. They marveled. And then they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You know, I don't know whether you do this or not, but I try to visualize this. Remember what I said in the preceding lesson. Peter and John are in the same room before the same men who crucified the Lord of glory. Only a few weeks before this, Jesus had stood where Peter and John are now standing. And these men, Annas and Caiaphas and Alexander and the rest of them, they delivered Jesus up to death. He claimed to be God. You remember Caiaphas said, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? And Jesus said, thou sayest. And not only so, but you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, in power and great glory. Do you remember how Caiaphas rent his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? We've heard him ourselves, he's a blasphemer. Let's crucify him. He's worthy of death. Let's get rid of him. Now, these same men stand before, or Peter and John stand before these men. And instead of these men, shall I say, charging Peter and John with some crime, Peter and John turn the tables on them and accuse them of a crime. Accuse them of killing the Prince of Life. They took knowledge of them. They had been with Jesus. Peter and John reminded them of Jesus. I wonder, my friend, if people see in you something of the Savior, they took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. Do your friends, do your family know that you have been with Jesus? I'm not talking so much about what you might say about Jesus, but your life. We are indwelled by the Spirit of God for the purpose of the revelation of Jesus Christ to men right where we are. Not only our words, but our actions, our attitudes. Do men say, do they take knowledge of us? We've been with Jesus? Or has people said, you know, you folk are just different. You're just different. And when they say that, you can say, yes, we're different. Jesus made us different. Give your testimony. But they've got to have a ground whereby they might say you're different. And every believer is different to the man of the world. But I wonder if people know that we have been with Jesus. As Jesus stood before this group of men with calmness, they were violently, emotionally disturbed in their envy for Christ. And he was the calmest one of the group. He just stood there and looked at them, never said a word. Till he was put under oath by the high priest. Then when he was under oath, he spoke. When he said, thou sayest, you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. I'm going to fulfill Daniel chapter 7. where it speaks of the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. Now see, and beholding the man which was healed standing by with them, they could say nothing about it. Now notice their unbelief. Notice their unbelief. And when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. In verse 21, So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Mark their unbelief. You know, I couldn't help but think of that verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Do you remember that passage? You might, in 2 Peter chapter 2, you've got false teachers. They deny the value of his first coming to die for sinners in chapter 2. Then they deny the fact of his second coming. Then I read these strange words. Of this they are willfully or willingly ignorant. They can't deny his power. They can't deny his person and his grace. The healed man is still there. Here's a man 40 years of age standing before them. They can't deny what their eyes see, what has been done. They can't deny the evidence. Notice that. They can't deny his power. They can't deny the evidence. In fact, they said it. In verse 16, we cannot deny it. Yet they won't believe it. Amazing thing, isn't it? You talk about their hearts. They had seen our Lord's life. They had given him up to be crucified. And now they're still fighting God. How hard can people get? And they try to hush up the whole business. Keep still. Don't you talk any more about it. The more you talk about it, the more conscience-smitten we are. So shut up about your Savior. I'm reminded that verse in John 5:39. Do you remember when Jesus said, You do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. It's to these same kind of folk that the Lord said these words in John chapter 5. To the leaders of Israel, religious people who boasted about knowing God when they said God is our Father. Let me quote that verse now in John 5:39. You do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. It is not that they couldn't come. They wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. And he ends that passage by saying, Had you believed Moses and the prophets, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote concerning me. My friend, let me again tell you how awful unbelief is. How hard can people get? Unbelief persisted in produces hardness. Here's a good illustration of it. They first of all questioned the Savior. Then they quietly opposed the Savior. Then they came on boldly and opposed the Savior. All the way through, he's pleading with them. All the way through, he's pleading with them. All the way through, he's demonstrating by his credentials, by his miracles, that he's the Son of God, that he's their Messiah. So that when you come to Matthew 23, 37 to the end of the chapter, do you remember, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. I repeat it, it is not that they couldn't, they wouldn't. And they went right on through until they got rid, as far as they were concerned, they got rid of the Son of God. They crucified him. And now after resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, the Word of God comes forth to reveal to Israel the wonders of Jesus of Nazareth, confirmed by his resurrection and exaltation, by the sending of the Spirit of God, which is our guarantee that our Savior is on the throne. And still they will not believe it. Here's a man 40 years of age, saved, healed, and I say saved too. They will not yet believe it. They're becoming harder and harder and harder. Now, though they can't deny it, though they won't believe it, they try to hush up the whole matter. So when we read in verse 17 and 18, don't you speak any more in this name. And they said, Peter said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than for us to hearken to God, well, you better be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Oh, friend, is that how you live? Christian friend, you can't help but speak the things which you have seen and which you have heard. And if you have received salvation in Christ, enjoying forgiveness of sins, eternal life, rejoicing in the fact you're a child of God, looking forward to the coming of the Savior when we shall see him and be like him, and go down all the wonderful fruits of the work and person of our Savior, and still keep still, still have no word for him. Oh, friend, if you haven't a word for him, it's about time we go down before God, cleansed of our indifference and coldness of heart, and be so in love with the Savior that we can't help, like Peter said, we can't help but tell the things we've seen and heard. So when they had threatened them, they let them go. Now, what do you think they did? And starting at verse 23 and running down through verse 30, you have where the disciples come in the presence of God and they pray for boldness. In fact, it runs right down through to verse 33. From 23 to 33. Now notice first of all in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They went to their own company. The Sadducees and the priests, they went to their own company in their unbelief, in their hardness of heart, in their hate for the Savior. And Peter and John went back to their own company. One is reminded of chapter 1, where Judas went to his own place. And where do you go? You go to your own company. You go to your own company. The ones you want to be with. And if you want to be with a man of the world, if that's the desire of your heart, to be with a man who's in sin and live where he lives, then, my friend, you've gone back to your own company. Peter and John went to their own company. What did they find? A group of worshippers. And having reported what had happened, I want you to know in verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord Despota, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Here you have them worshiping their Creator. This is their confession from 23 to 28. But please notice that. Praise, worship, sovereignty. They recognized the living God. They went back and had a wonderful time of praise. They had a prayer meeting. They had a praise meeting. Where do you go? When you go to a strange town, where do you go? The theater? Dance hall? Saloon? Or do you go among God's people? You see, wherever your heart is, that's where you're going to go. Sadducees went to their own company. Peter and John went to the company of God's people. What did they do? Having heard of the threatenings they had, maybe someone might have said, you know, I think we better kind of soft pedal this for a while. Let's not antagonize people. Just let's not antagonize people. Let's keep quiet about it. Let's not say so much about the Savior anymore publicly. Let's have a good time among ourselves. but don't tell anybody else about it. Oh, no, you don't think that? But, Pete, if we go out there and talk about the Savior, we're going to land in jail, too. So what? So what? They kept on with their testimony. We can't help but tell the things we've seen, the things we've heard. Oh, Christian friend, may I just say a word to you? I'm sure there are thousands upon thousands of people in our country, maybe in your city, that are hungry for peace, hungry for rest of heart and of mind, of conscience. You have the message whereby they can be cleansed, whereby they can have peace of conscience by faith in Christ, can have peace of heart as they walk with Him. Now let's get busy and witness for the Savior. And may these be days of rejoicing in the One who is not only altogether lovely, but One who has been exalted to the seat of power. And the Lord bless you today for His name's sake.